Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we have a special wonderful treat for you. Dawn, say your last name.
Fazand.
Fazand. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I finally got it down, Dawn.
After Dawn, 13 years?
Yeah, after 15 years. Yeah, I was saying to Dawn before we went on, I knew you before you were famous.
I think that means infamous.
Dawn is the publisher, as the CEO and the creator of the Mount Shasta magazine. She is a recording artist, and also she is the facilitator and sort of the CEO of the WESAC celebration, the yearly WESAC celebration in Mount Shasta, Dawn.
I'm only happy when I'm in charge. You know that.
I know. Dawn, it's an experience to go out to dinner with you and have you go right to the bartender and tell him how to make the Bloody Marys.
There's an art to it, and apparently it's a lost art, so I have to revive it.
You are teaching the art of Bloody Marys.
Everything is sacred. Everything deserves divine attention and perfection.
Wow. That's a mouthful. Uh-huh. I started thinking about, oh, God, if I change the cat box often enough. No. I have a lot of jobs.
Well, my friend, what you do is so amazing to me. I just don't know how to possibly even describe what a benefit you are to this planet.
Thank you, Dawn, and likewise, my darling. You know, I wanted to say to people, I used to meet people like you that were running a magazine and that were doing this fabulous thing with WESAC and also a recording artist. I have one of your CDs, and that is beautiful for world peace. And I would meet somebody like you that was also facilitating something like WESAC. That's such a huge project, and I would meet somebody like you and go, oh, she just landed like that. She's always been like that. She always was, fulfilled and successful that way. And knowing you and seeing you go through this process has been such an inspiration for me because, you used to say if you won the lotto, you would buy the Mount Shasta magazine. And the next thing I knew, you contributed to the lotto a lot, but you didn't win it, and you already owned the Mount Shasta magazine and have been running it successfully ever since. And that was like, how long ago?
1994. Well, the vision came, as you know. You might even have been there during a meditation for my birthday. A whole group of us were gathered, and there's a big violet flame appeared in the middle of the room, and from it spoke Saint Germain and Archangel Michael and Babaji and told me what I was supposed to do. I was to do this magazine. And I said, well, I don't know how to do that. I have no background in this. And they said not to worry about that. And so I didn't. And I went down to the local newspaper and tried to get them to do it. And finally, after a series of events, the paper was sold to an independent firm who then turned around and said, okay, we'll do it if you do it.
So and you got a job there.
I got a job there, and they taught me everything I needed to know and how to do a magazine. I got a Bachelor of Arts in publishing by working there.
And got paid for doing
it. Which in Mount Shasta is a big deal because, as you may know, but most other people might not know, having a job in Mount Shasta is not always an easy thing. And if you're supposed to be here, however, the waters part and things work out so that you can be here. And if you're not supposed to be here, I don't care how much money you have, it's not going to work.
Huh. Very interesting. Tell us about WESAC and give us the background on what WESAC is.
WESAC is a lot of different things to a lot of different people. WESAC, the word WESAC, is the name of a month in the Hindu calendar. It's also the name given to the birth, the death, and the enlightenment of the Buddha. It's also a festival that is believed by the Theosophical people to be held on the esoteric realms in the actual WESAC Valley, and that supposedly has been going on for thousands of years without our knowledge. In 1951, the King of Thailand decided that they were going to choose WESAC and that all Buddhists would celebrate WESAC by decree, more or less the way we did Christmas, as the Buddha's big day. But what we do here is more involved with the Theosophical Society. Now, they believe that there are three very important full moons that occur in the spring. The first is the moon of the Christ, which occurs during the sun of April, and it's the full moon in the sun sign of Aries. The second one is the moon of the Buddha. It's supposed to be the most powerful full moon of the year. It occurs during the full moon of May, but also during the sun sign of Taurus. It's actually the Scorpio full moon, but it occurs during the sun sign of Taurus. The third of those full moons is the moon of the humanities, and that is the Gemini moon, or the moon of June. Now, each of those has a different meaning, but for our purposes, the WESAC, the Buddha full moon, is a time when Christ and Buddha come together on the etheric levels, and they offer a combined blessing to humanity. That blessing is transferred into a crystal bowl of water, which is taken by the ascended masters, brought to earth, and distributed among humans, who then, of course, disperse the blessing throughout the rest of the world. Now, what we do here is not exactly that same ceremony, but we know the ceremony. So we have chosen teachers who know how to work with the energies going on at any particular time in that ceremony. And the first thing we do, we have Craig Russell, who is a beautiful channel of Akasha in Canada.
Oh, he is. We had him on a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really? Oh, how lovely.
I could hardly interview him. I was so busy taking notes, and I said, I make him go back.
Well, he's such a lovely man.
He is.
He will be in charge this year of making sure that the event is connected to those energies of the WESAC, of the downloading of the combined blessing. Then Terry Cole Whitaker will give a talk, and she will be making sure that the energies are treated in such a way that we get the maximum from them. Then we have Dr. Shaw, who will take the healing parts of those, and I don't know if you've seen Dr. Shaw, but he will blast away any forms of ill health anywhere. He cured my kidney last year on stage. You know, I just went up to be a dummy for him. And,
oh, a likely story.
Well, I went up and, you know, I didn't have anything in particular except I've been having a problem with one of my kidneys because the artery that goes to that kidney is too small. And the doctors are saying, well, it's going to wither and eventually you'll have to remove it. Well, he asked me what I wanted and I said, I want my kidney healed. And he did his shtick, as I say, and I paid no attention to it. I just, you know, he gave me a little paper of what to do and some prayers to say, and I did them. And then 6 months later, I had my yearly blood work done on the kidney, and Dr. Gunda said, your kidney is not sick.
Woohoo!
It started putting out the right amounts of whatever it needed, and I just said, thank you very much, called Dr. Shaw and said, okay, what do you got? You know me, I need proof. I don't take most of these people at their word. They've got to show me. Which is probably why I'm doing the magazine.
Because, yeah. Beautiful magazine it is. There's a website for the Mount Shasta magazine. What is it, Dawn?
It's mountshastamagazine.com.
Duh.
You see, that's how I actually ended up doing WESAC, because Dr. Joshua Stone, who started WESOC, called me when he wanted to do a WESOC in Mount Shasta because he didn't know anything about the area. And so he and I became very good friends. I helped him do the first one, and I was at every one of them from the first one on. And then when he got ill, he asked me if I would do it for him, not knowing, at least not on the conscious level, not knowing that he was going to pass. And then the next year he did, and so the whole thing came to me to continue. And I'm doing my best to keep it going, and I think we're doing a good job.
Oh, you know, yes, you are.
We've got, in addition to Craig Russell, we've got Amora Kwan Yin, who is another wonderful channel, his Palladian channel, who will also be connecting with the energies and bringing it in through the Syrian Archangelic League. It's amazing, amazing things that we do here. Michael Tamara, he's a healer. And I don't know if, have you heard of Faith Rivera? She is a fantastic performer.
No, I haven't heard of her. Faith Rivera?
Faith Rivera. She is from Kauai and has a great following with her. Her gift is her music and her song. And her. She's won Emmys for her song. She's worked with everybody, from Luther Vandross to Neil Donald Walsh, with her music. She's just an amazing performer. We also have Diana Cooper, my friend from London, the Angel Lady. She's coming over. She's got two books that are in talks right now to become movies.
Really?
Yep.
And I can't think of the name. A Golden Steps or
Golden Atlantis. And
what is it called? Golden Atlantis?
I think it's Golden. Don't quote me now because I don't have it in front of me. But it's something like Golden Atlantis is the first one. And the other one is a book on ascension. And again, I don't remember the name. Shoot me, I should have known.
My copy is downstairs.
And mine's in the other room somewhere, but I have to go through the obstacle course of cats to get to it. So. Who else do we have? Aluna Joy Jackson. Do you remember Aluna Joy?
Yes,
that's
I
great
do.
Mind. She's coming out of semi-retirement. She hasn't spoken anywhere for a few years. And when I asked her to do this, she said, of course, for you, I'll be there, no problem. And we've got Eric Berglund, who's pretty well known. Is it the harpist, Eric Berglund?
And a fabulous composer.
Yes.
And a world-class visionary artist.
Yeah, and he's also doing teaching now as well. So he wants an opportunity to do both this year.
He is a good teacher.
He is such a good man.
And you know what else? He is so holy and completely joyous.
Yeah.
And that's always my biggest gift with him is how completely joyous he is.
And he's committed. He walks his talk.
Yes, he does.
You won't be disappointed with Eric's behavior as far as New Age leaders is concerned. A lot of people you meet, and they've got names, and then when you meet them, there's some things that you think, well, that's not exactly an integrity, you know. But you're not going to find anything like that with Eric.
Absolutely not.
Who else are we having this year? We've got Joanna Cherry, who is an ascension teacher and both are a friend of both of ours.
Yes, and she is a major contributor to the Pure Inspiration magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And she has three books out on ascension.
Mm-hmm.
God, I can't think.
Don't even try.
Go to
AMILight.com.
Oh, and then you have Dr. Emoto.
No, he's not coming this year. He said yes, and then he said no, and then he said yes, and he said no, and then he said yes, and I was getting a headache. So and then he said no, I said, okay, that's enough.
I'm sorry.
Call me when your schedule calms down. But we have a wonderful group of presenters, and we have Terry Cole Whitaker. I mean, Terry... She had her own TV series for 6 years and won Emmys with that. Now she's also had two books on the New York Times bestseller list. What You Think of Me is None of My Business, and the other one is How to Have More in a Have-Not World. Do you remember those two? I remember both.
Oh, yeah, I've read both of them. And the newest one is Dare to Be Great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I haven't gotten a copy of that yet, but...
Well,
Dr. Shaw's also been on the New York Times bestseller list. He's got at least one time, and he's had a PBS special made about him. He's an amazing healer. He's very male, very commanding and demanding. And I found it really interesting last year. Let's see, his book is Soul, Mind, Body, Medicine, A Complete Soul Healing System for Optimal Health and Vitality. That's the one that made the New York Times bestseller list. Now, last year, at the end of WESOC, I sent out a flyer, an email to everybody, and asked them, of all the teachers there, who would they like to see again? And it surprised me for a minute, but then it didn't. They wanted to see Dr. Shaw, and then once again, they wanted to see Patricia Resch. Now, Patricia Resch is probably the exact opposite of Dr. Shaw. Patricia Resch does Diksha, which is a downloading of divine energy, and she's very female. It's very loving, giving, grounding of that energy in a very quiet and very peaceful way. And Dr. Shaw is a commanding, demanding, ordering, kind of male. And then when I thought about it, it made perfect sense. They asked for the male and the female of this grounding energy.
That was their two favorites?
That was the two people they asked for to see again.
Well, you know, as an aside here, I wish you'd put in a word for me. I really asked her to be on the show.
Patricia?
Yeah. And I have Diana.
She doesn't think of herself as a healer or a teacher in that way, but I think she should come and speak to you about Diksha. I will talk to her for you.
Yes, because I'd like to, explain to people what it is.
Yeah, she's a good spokesman for that because, excuse me, she has absolutely no ego. She's not tied up in whether, somebody thinks she's doing it right or wrong. It just flows through her.
Yeah. Well, so that was their two favorites, and who else did they want back?
That was it. Those are the only two names.
Dr. Shaw and Patricia Resch.
Uh-huh. And I couldn't think of any more polar opposites, except that the energy they're dealing with is the same. It's just two different ways of dealing with that energy. And it's definitely the yin and the yang of that energy, the male and the female, which I thought was perfect. Once I realized it and looked at it for a minute, at first I said, are you kidding? Both these two? And then I realized, yeah, they're asking for balance.
Wow. Well, Dawn, I know we were going to get to talking to what you call quantum mechanics.
Oh, yes.
And but also, I'd like to tell people to see the beautiful website for WESOC.
WESOC.us. That's WESAK .us.
That's a beautiful, beautiful website.
Glad you like it.
It's funny about however I say WESOC or WESAC or whatever I say, somebody corrects me, because I'm never sure.
I've always said WESOC. That's how Joshua taught me WESOC, so people seem to know what I mean when I say WESOC.
Yeah, and let's go back a little bit. What can people expect if they come to WESOC?
Well, they should expect a very powerful intensive with some very, very strong teachers. None of these people are wimps. They're going to go from 7 in the evening to 11 on the Friday night. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we're going from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. both nights. And we'll have an hour and only an hour for lunch and an hour for dinner. And believe me, you get shifted. And that's the whole purpose. People come here to be shifted. Now, some come to hear their favorite teachers, but they also get to hear everybody else.
Well, I think also my experience of WESOC is that people come, I come to shop.
Yeah, you can definitely shop. That, we do have two buildings. One building has a spirit fair in it, and we've got people who come from actually all over the world to sell their products. It's not very large. We only allow about 30 vendors in there, plus the teachers will have their tables. The presenters will all have tables. And in the vending fair, not only do you find some extraordinary products, but you get to be sort of one-on-one with a lot of the teachers.
Yes.
I don't know that they all will sit at their tables, but many of them do. And you can get signed books. You can have conversations. It's a very informal way to connect with them. In the other auditorium, we have just the stage and the chairs, and they speak, and the audience stays still. It's not like some of those expos where you have to chase all over the building to pick out who you want to hear. When you come to WESOC, you're going to hear everybody. All you have to do is be sitting in your seat, and the teachers are going to come to you.
Yeah, oh, that's great. So much more comfortable, isn't it?
I think so, and it's more fair. I mean, you're paying. They're not.
How much does a ticket to WESOC cost?
Well, right now, until the 15th, it's $250.
Till the 15th of February?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's only a few days. But after that, it goes, I think, to $275 until the end of March, and then it's going to be the full price of $300 from March until the day of the event. And the event is May 4th through 6th in Mount Shasta.
It's an experience just to come to Mount Shasta, but I wanted to back up a little about the purpose of WESOC. I experience everyone's intention that comes there to be a cup for planetary transformation.
Mm-hmm.
That my experience is we're working on ourselves, we're working on the planet, and
mm-hmm.
when that many committed people come together, it's just such a wonderful blessing to meet and share. And
I'm sorry,
go ahead.
Well, that's what I was referring to. Last year I wrote a letter. I think we actually posted it on the website, where I came to the realization that, you know, we were talking about how the festival is the water gets blessed and it's distributed. And I realized that we are the water.
Mm-hmm.
We are the sacred water that is receiving that blessing and carrying it throughout the world and dispersing it into social consciousness. And most of those who come understand that. Of course, you come for self-development and to be with people of like mind, and to be re-inspired on your path. But all of that adds to the upliftment of humanity. Whether you intend that or you don't intend that, you can't help it because you are part of it. And any part that improves, improves all the parts.
Yeah. You know, that's been hard for a lot of us to get. You know, we want to work on the outside world. And our first order of business is working on the inside world.
Well, in quantum mechanics, there is no outside world.
There
is only your world, you, and your environment, which is you. And they're not separable. How's that for a segue?
Well, my eyeballs sort of turned around in my head. Go on, continue.
Well, that's one of the basic principles of quantum mechanics, is that the observer affects absolutely the reality it observes. Now, the observer is you, your mind and your brain. And my teacher, Rampa, has been trying to train us for many years to understand how intimate and real the connection is between what you observe and what you live. When you wake up in the morning, everything around you, you have created. Every article in your environment, the good stuff and the bad stuff. And only you judge it, not anybody else, but their opinion just doesn't matter. It's all about you. We have an observer in our mind, and it's our job as the dreamers, it's God's dreamers, to evolve not only ourselves, but to evolve the mind of God through evolving ourselves. Bronson talks about the fact that we have a frontal lobe in the brain, which is above right where the forehead is, and that is where the dreamer lives. That is where the holographic brain flashes the pictures that are then empowered by our God, and we walk into every day. Every day. You step in the dog shit, you created it. If you float on a cloud, you created that too.
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing to get hold of there is to stop making ourselves wrong for the dog shit and mm-hmm. keep our focus and attention on what we do want next. Mm-hmm. Craig Russell calls it forward living
mm-hmm.
instead of regretting. And he says that Tasha and his son say the biggest thing Ascended Masters do not understand about humans is humans keep focusing on the things that seemed not to work out.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're stuck in our past.
Yeah. So what you're saying is, I think the biggest job people have is going, okay, so I did create the dog shit. Oh,
and it's okay that I created the dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
You're not wrong and bad for wanting to step in dog shit. We judge ourselves. There was a book that came out in the 70s called I'm Okay, You're Okay. And it was supposedly just to apply between relationships with people, but it's really about the universe. Everything in the universe is okay, and you're okay too. Whatever experiencing you're having, whatever loving or hating or dramas or non-dramas that you're having is all okay. It's all okay. And you can choose any minute to change any of it. But we don't believe that. We think we're stuck. And the reason we do is because of the way our bodies are built. This is all my understanding of Rompha's teachings. But they're also verifiable thoughts that you can go to science and medical science especially to figure out. The body communicates with itself through chemicals produced in the brain. And when we have an experience that is dramatic, whether it's good or bad, the brain tells the body to release certain chemicals, certain steroids, that we become addicted to. And we continually go back like a junkie and keep pushing those same old patterns, you know, or like one of those rats in the tube where he knows if he pushes the little red button, even though he gets a shock, he's going to get something to eat.
Yeah, they really talk about this in What the Bleep Do We Know.
Right,
that
exactly.
Movie.
That movie was about Rompha's teaching. It was by Rompha students about Rompha's teachings. So, I forget where I was now.
I'm sorry. We become addicted to the...
We're addicted to our emotions. And emotions are nothing but chemicals. Now, we think of them as the most real things in the world, but they're nothing but chemicals. And Rompha says when we die and we're above watching the Undertaker drain out all our chemicals, we see all our emotions going down the drain with it, and we wonder why on earth we were so attached to those things. They're not even real. Emotion was designed to create an imprint on the soul. The soul is sort of the computer chip that goes with us from lifetime to lifetime to help us remember. And it records all our experiences, which evolve our mind. So the soul needs to have, you know, some sort of communication with what the body's experiencing, the sensories. And it is through emotion that the soul is able to record those things. But we have become addicted to the chemicals produced by our emotions. And that's why we do the craziest thing. Rompha says, and I always laugh at this when he says, you will bed down with the most ridiculous people just for the sake of an emotional rush. Because of the chemicals involved. Not because you're in love. Because of the chemistry.
Oh, but I thought that also meant in the way of teachers. I have seen people do that with false teachers
mm-hmm.
and make everything they said right because they, you know, they might be saying things that had nothing to do with your responsibility for creating,
mm-hmm.
but things, you know, like that were going to happen from the outside. Do you know what I
yeah.
mean? And I've seen people get so excited about that when they knew it wasn't true. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Huh.
We are gifted with what Rompha is calling consciousness and energy. Consciousness and energy are inextricably combined, and consciousness and energy are the nature of reality. It's like Shiva and Shakti. What we dream up in our consciousness automatically creates energy. Our thoughts create matter. That's why one of the favorite sayings up there is thought matters.
Thought matters.
It's the nature of reality. It's what quantum physics is. You cannot observe something and cannot have a thought without having a creation.
Well, you know, one of the things I do is use the violet flame. Mm-hmm. If I have a thought that I go, oh, no, that's not something I want, you know, like a fear thought or something. Mm-hmm. One of the ways I was taught years ago is if you see that thought, a picture of that, as if it's a negative, you know, that mm-hmm. that was something you were going to develop, and pass that through the violet flame and also call it. But what does Ramtha say to do about, you know, having thoughts like that you don't want and negating them and choosing not to create them?
Well, he doesn't focus on negating them. He just focuses on choosing not to recreate them. Forgiveness, of course, is the biggest tool for negating, as you call it. And using the violet flame is a way that you do that, and other people have other methods for doing that. What Ramtha focuses on is just to continuously be aware of your thoughts and to change them. If you keep having
what you do want.
Yeah, and to be patient with yourself. He says the number one virtue that a master needs is patience. Because our personalities are been taught to chitter-chatter and wander around and distract, and you have to be like a parent being very patient with that child. No, we're not going to think about that today. Or like Scarlett O'Hara, I'll think about that tomorrow. Tomorrow is another day, you know. But you get what I'm saying. You say, you know, I'm not thinking about you today. Today I'm focused on this. And eventually, if you assure those other thoughts that they do have some value and that you may get back to them later, they'll leave you alone. And your mind becomes very serene. And then the thoughts that do matter become more powerful.
Have a chance to present themselves.
Yeah, they have more space to grow and become powerful. And these are my words. I don't want anyone to think that I'm actually quoting Ram. I am not a student. I'm not a teacher. I am a student of the work. He has appointed teachers who, I mean, if they really want to know what Ramtha's authorized versions of these stories are, they can always find out through the teachers, you know.
Now,
but I have been studying Ram's work.
What is his website?
Ramtha.com.
R-A-M-T-H-A.
Right. Ramtha.com. Most of what Ramtha teaches has been verified in science. Ramtha's been teaching it for a long time, since 1979, and some of the work, like Dr. Bruce Lipton's work, is just catching up to what Ramtha's been saying. Zachariah Sitchin's work is catching up to what Ramtha's saying. But most of what Ramtha says, he's deliberately allowed it to be connected to science so that it can be proven outside of the arena of his classroom. Because Ramtha says information is worthless until you create an experience about it, and then it becomes wisdom. I mean, you can read all you want. You can read about how to build a bicycle. It doesn't mean a thing unless you go out and build a bicycle and ride it.
And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. I have always demanded results. Every teacher I've ever had, I've really, really, really applied it and produced the results.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's really important to me.
I didn't hear all of that, sorry.
Oh, I'm just saying that every teacher I've had, I have absolutely applied everything that they gave me.
Oh, of course. Well, you would only be drawn to people that are trustworthy. You have very good intuition. There are some people out there who you need to really exercise discernment with.
Thank you for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for saying that.
I know a lot of people come to Mount Shasta who think they're teachers, and they're really not. They're still students, big time.
Well, I think we're all students.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're all students, and I think that when a teacher gets to a point where they think no one else can teach them anything, it's not a good place.
now it's time to say goodbye to them. In my humble opinion, it's
what?
You know, when their ego gets that big, there's no more new information coming in, and it's time to leave. It's true.
You know what I was thinking before we started is that one of the things I would really like to see go on the planet is a sense of sort of do it my way or you're going to hell, or eat this and you'll be healthy. Otherwise,
yeah, right.
You know, they curse people.
If you're not a vegan, you're an awful person.
Then, yeah.
You know, but I'm not being judgmental, mind you.
No, God no. See, you know, my biggest lesson has been I absolutely do not know what anyone else should do. I only know what I should do.
Well, Iris, that makes you one of the wisest people I have ever met. It just seems that everybody's out there trying to convince others to do it their way. Because when you find something that works for you, it's natural to want to share that. But you do have to recognize that it works for you and maybe not for everybody else. And even if it does work some for the other people, it's never 100%. They're never going to have your experience. They'll have their own. Hopefully.
And you know, I think I'm really feeling this. I want everyone to have freedom. You know, I want everyone to be their own boss, to have their own inner authority and do what they want to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've noticed there has been so much of people trying to control what other people do.
Oh, yeah. The corporations are taking over what the Catholic Church used to be. To control your life. To control how much you make, what kind of house you can live in. You know, they give you credit scores and credit cards to keep you trapped into their cycle of being on the little wheel to keep it rolling, you know. It's the same thing as the old Catholic Church. Selling blessings so you can get into heaven. It's all about manipulation and control, and that all will have to stop. The most important thing a master needs is sovereignty. In your inner and outer sovereignty. Rampa teaches everybody that you need to be able to take care of yourself. You need to know that if the world does go through any turmoil, you, on your own, can survive. And that doesn't just mean going out and growing your own food and things like that. But it means, can you survive mentally and emotionally and spiritually in the midst of all the turmoil and drama, as well as in the midst of calm and peace? Do you have that firm a grip on your identity as an individual that nothing is going to knock you off of who you are?
Wow.
Well, you asked me, Iris.
Wow, I'm just... I'm breathing here.
Yeah, it's pretty intense stuff when you think about it. It's okay.
To master things, you know, I feel like I'm always constantly guided into areas where I don't know how to do it.
I've seen you jump off that bridge many a time, but you know what? You always end up landing on your feet.
Well,
because you follow your inner knowingness.
Well, you know that movie and that last Indiana Jones movie where they were looking for the Grail,
and they
had to step out over that ravine, and there wasn't any path until they stepped out.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, it hasn't been I step out and the whole bridge appears. It's I step out and one more step appears and I'm still over that ravine without a bridge. That's been my experience.
But you don't understand from the quantum mechanics point of view that you're creating it. You're creating the whole experience. You're creating the bridge and the step and the wondering whether it's going to be there and the end of the experience is all in your realm of creativity. You like that feeling. You like stepping off into the unknown. You get a kick out of it.
Surprise me, surprise me.
Yeah, you love it. And that's why it keeps happening for you, and that's why it keeps working for you. Because your subconscious mind has created that whole scenario that it feels good for you. You get a rush out of it. And it works.
Well, I always want to stretch myself, don't you?
Of course. I'm stretching myself right now.
You're stretching yourself right now to
yes.
do this?
No, I meant physically.
Well, I was thinking how many hours that is at WESOC. That's a lot of hours for you.
Yeah, but it's okay. Hey, I'm from New Orleans, honey. You've never been around Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras just started, I think, a couple of days ago, and it doesn't end until the day before Ash Wednesday. When is that this year, anyway? I have no clue. But
so that's where you got your endurance.
That's where I built my stamina. I come from Party City. You're talking to the gal who stayed back 2 years in college because I got a scholarship to Columbia, but you couldn't drink in the bars in New York till you were 21. So I stayed home for 2 years and went to school in New Orleans before I went to New York.
And there began your mission to reawaken bartenders everywhere to make the right kind of Bloody Marys.
Yes, to put the right consciousness in my Bloody Mary.
Woman. Well, you know, I wanted to go back to that saying, you know, I knew you before you were famous because you are a living example that miracles happen and
mm-hmm.
dreams do come true.
In more ways than one, yes.
Yes,
I am.
You are. And so I want to sort of talk about how you came to that. How did you come to even being in a consciousness where Saint Germain and Babaji and who else showed up and told
Archangel Michael
and told you you would be doing this magazine? I mean, how did you get to that point?
I was lucky in one sense. When I was a child, a very young child, before I went to school and before I met the nuns.
There's a little charge left there.
Yeah, I had the experiences of seeing Michael and Jesus and St. Francis around me. I didn't know their names until I went to school. And then the nuns started teaching me about St. Joan of Arc and how she got burnt at the stake for listening to her voices. And I went home and said, listen, you guys, I don't want you to appear to me anymore. You're going to kill me if they find out, so just don't talk to me. So that was when I was 8. But then later on in life, I began to have experiences that just told me, you know, maybe you need to go back and reconnect with that because that was probably something, you know, beneficial for you.
Yeah, and also by this time, burning at the stake was out of style.
Well, they could still shoot you, you know. I mean, listen, as an 8-year-old, I had a very creative imagination.
I know.
Both in a positive and negative sense. But I also had some very mystical experiences going to Mass and receiving the body of Christ. I was born and raised Catholic, and there's a ritual called communion. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, where you actually receive a wafer that's been blessed by the priest, supposedly mimicking the Last Supper, and that wafer then becomes the body of Christ. And when the devout Catholic receives the wafer, you're taught that you're actually ingesting Christ into your being.
Oh.
Well, when I was a child, every time I went to communion, you can't go to communion until you're about 8, I would float down the aisle. I really felt that presence in my being. And once again, the nuns tried to take it away, but that's when I realized that they were full of shit and I was okay. Because I was having the experience I was supposed to be having, and they were telling me I could not possibly be having that experience. So I just didn't listen to them anymore. And finally, as a teenager, I left the church.
A wise woman.
Yeah. And I began searching for the right thing. I started out with astrology and all of that stuff.
And then I started listening to some of the Eastern teachers. But the thing that really pulled me out of all of that and put me into a space of more reality was A Course in Miracles.
Oh.
I found A Course in Miracles while I was still living in New Orleans. And you know, my husband passed away in New Orleans. And around that time, I really needed to feel that I was connected to something bigger than just a mortal body. So I went to a Unity church, and I sat way in the back. And this minister, way up in the front, it must have been 200 feet, I swear, it seemed like she was at the end of a tunnel. She looked right at me, and she said, "You are God." And I about jumped out of my seat and said, "That's it. That's the piece that's been missing in my life, that knowledge." And I went and asked, "How did you find that out, and how do I know more?" And so I received A Course in Miracles, and about midway through A Course in Miracles, a friend of mine said, "Let's go to this bookstore, the only bookstore in New Orleans that was doing anything remotely New Age or spiritual." She said, "They're showing this stuff by this channeled entity named Rampa." And she told me what channeling was. I said, "You know, that sounds like a lot of BS to me, but I know you need a ride, so I'll drive you there, and then I'll come pick you up later." So I got her all, she had something wrong with her foot, so I had her get her in and get her all situated in the front row. And as I was walking down the aisle to go out of the building, the video came on, and all I heard was, "Greetings, entity," and my body just froze. I mean, there was such a shock of recognition, I still feel it.
What year was that?
That was in about 83, and it was one of the first videos that he had put out. And he was still just doing the dialogues, walking around the country introducing himself. But having once heard that voice, the entire recognition of who he was and who I was in relationship to him just flooded into my body, and I realized I'd met my teacher.
I didn't know that you had been a student that long.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, not directly until 94. But through the tapes and the videos, because I was running around the country. I was going in opposite directions from where they were doing the dialogues. But when he started the school in 88, because enough of the people finally said, "Ram, you've been creating miracles for us all along. You've been healing the sick and just about everything. Why don't you teach us how to do it?" And he said, "That's what I was waiting to hear." So in 1988, he set up the school, but I was still traveling around, and it wasn't until I think 1993 they called me. The school called me because I was already, no, it had to be 94 because I was already doing the magazine. Anyway, they called me, and they had heard about the magazine. They said, "Well, why don't you come up here and be a reporter and write about the school?" Not a year before that, I had been in meditation with Joanna Cherry, who we talked about earlier, and I had this voice that said, "Entity, it's time to come to my ashram." Rampa does not use words like ashram, so that was really my own higher self saying, "Wake up, go to the school, stupid." And I just said, "Well, you know my situation, I just landed here, I don't have any money. If you want that to happen, you got to make it happen." And I felt another rush in my body, and I went, ooh, it gave me chills, and I didn't think anything about it. 1 year to the day later, I got the call from the school. And I went up there. I was supposed to be up there for a weekend. The head of my car blew up for some unknown reason. Ha-ha. I ended up spending 2 weeks there, getting an entire beginner's retreat with them. And I have never been the same person since. It just totally changed my life.
Wow.
I mean, I went up there to write about it and to be objective, and, you know, I can do that. I can separate my own feelings and emotions from what I'm doing. My mother was a lawyer. She showed me how to do those things. But to have that experience, to be just created that way, to prove to me that I'm powerful enough to do that, first of all, and then to throw me in the lap of a teacher I've been missing for centuries, What a rush.
That's sort of like me having a rabbit that I loved and losing it and meeting Jerry. You know, it's like the universe has its ways of putting you on the path, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, people always, always say God gave me this message, and my comment to God has always been, you got to talk loud for me, man, because I'm busy. I don't always hear. But I found that's not true. I think I'm busy, but I do always hear it. I haven't missed one yet so far.
Well, and you never will, because that's your intention to listen and follow instructions from within.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why you left the church.
Oh, that was just a survival. I couldn't be there anymore. They were killing me. They were killing my soul.
That's another example of the thing that needs to go on the planet, is that you do it my way or you go to hell.
Well, you should hear Rampa talk about religion.
I know. I heard this one thing that he said that really struck me. He said, you know, if you declare a certain amount, a certain kind of people heathens, whether it's their religion or the color of their skin or anything, then that makes you able to go in and take their property.
Yeah, it does. He says the Catholic Church has been the single most disastrous and destructive entity on this planet ever, worse than Hitler. 10.5 million people were killed during the Inquisition simply because they didn't believe the way the Church wanted them to. And it's not just the Catholic Church. I mean, Oliver Cromwell in England, when they turned on the Catholics, I mean, they slayed the Catholics just as much as the Catholics went against the Protestants. I mean, everybody's been taking turns killing each other off. I don't know how we survived. But the good news is that J.Z. Knight has the ability, one of the abilities that she has is to leave her body when Rompus channeling through her. She's not here, so she's traveling around. And she says that she has gone and looked at the timelines, and in the future, this whole experiment with religion will just be like a 6,000 or 8,000 year blip on the surface of the earth. Because we're coming back into our power now. We're discovering that that has kept us separate from our truth and our true nature. That belief in an outside, God's there, God's over there, God's everywhere but in you, has kept us broken. But quantum mechanics, the scientists are now proving what the yogis have been saying for thousands of years. God is nowhere but in you.
And everywhere.
And everywhere.
Everywhere present.
Rampa says that we are in the process of evolving, and the mind of God is evolving through us. He says we are like wine bottles. And during the life, the wine is being ripened and honed and given great quality and texture. And at the end of our lives, we uncork the wine, and we pour it back into this huge vat, which is the mind of God. And he says, not only do you do that, but everything that ever lived, every virus, every bug, every tree, everything has poured its new knowledge back into the mind of God. And so that's how we are evolving in the mind of God. And because we are the mind of God, evolving ourselves as well. It's a mouthful, but an interesting image.
Oh, I'm still my head's spinning around. I must look like that girl in The Exorcist.
Please, no pea soup, okay?
You know, sometimes it's really hard for me to interview because I get totally caught up, and I'm like, and you know, and at the end of what you said, my mouth is hanging open, so I forget. I'm, you know, I'm just being there as a curious and delighted observer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Some of the techniques at the school are so amazing, and all they teach you is how to connect with the mind of God, to evolve your mind now, and your life now, and ultimately the mind of God. It's amazing stuff.
Well, and you know what's so wonderful about it, Dawn, is everyone truly wants to contribute. Everyone truly wants to make it a better planet because we have been here. And in light of that, I'd like to say this week, starting today, is Random Acts of Kindness.
Ooh.
And so I want to ask everyone to do a random act of kindness every day.
Oh, that's cool. I like doing that stuff.
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
And that means, you know, kindness and a good, something you really want to give for no reason, just because you really want to give it, just because it's in your heart to give. And so I'd like to just ask you to do that this week for yourself.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy it. I mean, in fact, the other day I was at the Rite Aid, and this poor lady, she was in Spanish and obviously didn't speak English, and I don't speak Spanish, but she was a couple of aisles over, and all I kept hearing was a lot of Spanish and the word Motrin, you know, and the other person couldn't understand what the heck she wanted, and I don't know if it was a clerk or not. So I went to the end of the aisle, and there, sure enough, there was the Motrin. So I went over and I took her by the hand and walked her over to the Motrin, and she, her eyes lit up. She was happy, you know, so
yeah.
That was a small thing, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's fun. And you know, the best thing about it is that, you know, Craig Russell says this, you can decide to be a shadow in this world or a light and an encourager. And everything we do that makes people happier, you know, just that lady feeling how much somebody just cared about her. You know, I feel when somebody gives to me in that way, I feel more able to give to everyone else. And so I really I want, you know, us to be so busy doing loving things for one another that everything that's an unhappy experience just dissolves.
Yeah. Well, that's how we're supposed to be.
Yeah. So, Don, we're just about out of time, and I want you to give your two websites again.
Oh, okay.
I want to thank you so much for coming and sharing
yourself.
Thank
you, Iris, for everything you do, honey. You are just such an amazing gift to this planet. I'm just so grateful to know you.
Thank you, Don.
I feel so blessed.
Thank you. That was the last thing I expected from you.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't.
Because you know how I am. I'm usually pretty cut and dry and bluff. I don't get mushy.
Not and naughty, name. I like that. Well, give your websites, my darling.
MountShastaMagazine.com. Spell out the word mount. And WESAK.US. WESAK.US.
And I want to recommend all of those things. Mount Shasta Magazine, going to WESAK.
Yes,
going to... going to Mount Shasta for any reason is a gift and a blessing and a refreshment for your soul. And any way that you connect with Dawn, affectionately known as the D-Woman, will be a great gift for you. And I'd like to ask you to come back sometime, Dawn, and share with us. And I thank you so much for being here today. And I think we have Terry Cole Whitaker next Monday.
Oh, good.
But I'm not sure.
Make her talk about WESAK.
Well, Terry's an experience. She's always an experience.
Yeah.
And the week after that, we have Diana Cooper from England.
Oh, you got all my WESAK people. Good for you.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm on the job.
Well, good for people. It's going to be an amazing event.
I know. Full of amazing people.
Yes.
So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. We'll be here Monday at 2. Until then, happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you. Till we meet again. I love you.
I love you too.
Is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. All men, all women, all children, and yee-haw!